The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies. I was attending a conference about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I was sitting in a conference, and a man of God got up, and he preached a message, and I took good notes on this message that I'm about to give this morning. And I attribute it, of course, to his keenness, to his study, and to his observance of what was going on, as he's a well-traveled man. And then I begin to travel back again. Sometimes I'll fly out on a Monday and Tuesday, and I'll preach in a conference somewhere around America. And I'm beginning to see something that's taking place I want to bring our attention to, and I think it would be a help. Notice, if you will, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. But the Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Didn't say might, it said shall. And so God gives a definite promise there. He says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. So how do you get the blessing? You be a faithful man. And so the more that you're faithful, the more that God says, I will give you blessings. But notice he did not say that he'll give you a blessing. He said, shall abound with blessing. That's in a continuance form. And so he says, a faithful man doesn't get blessed one time. A faithful man does not get blessed two times. A faithful man does not get blessed three times. But a faithful man shall abound. That's a continuation here with blessing. Then he says, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But the first portion of that verse is what I want to draw our attention to, where it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. I want to speak to you this morning on 10 reasons why we still have Sunday night church. 10 reasons why we still have Sunday night church. There is a prevalent decline, not in other countries. Let me emphasize, not in other countries, but here in the United States. There is a continual decline on church membership coming to the evening services all across the United States of America. According to a researcher by the name of Tom Rader, he said this, that only 5% of the churches, that's American churches today, still have a Sunday evening service. Only 5%. Now, I personally love church. I do. I wish we could have church all the time. But I love church. I love Sunday evening church. I grew up, after I received Christ as Savior, I dove in. I didn't have to edge my way in. I dove in. When I got saved, by the way, I was not that way prior to salvation. I wasn't that way. There for a while, I was an altar boy at a church coming up in a Roman Catholic home. I was an altar boy, and I did it on Saturday evenings when I was really into helping out there, and then on Sunday mornings. And on Saturday evening, we'd do the Latin Mass, and I would help my priest, and then on Sunday morning, do the English-speaking Mass. But we never had no midweek service whatsoever. Not whatsoever. And then when I came into contact with a believer that showed me my need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, I bowed my heart and received Christ as my Savior. When I did that, and I had an earnest desire to learn the Bible, and I wanted to learn the Bible more. I came across a verse one day that changed my life, where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the reason that really rung close to me is because when it said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it didn't say faith cometh by reading, but it said faith cometh by hearing. And I thought, boy, that must be talking about you hearing somebody else speak it. And so when I read that verse, I decided I'm going to get as much hearing of the Bible as I possibly could. Well, my church happened to offer Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church, so I could hear with ease. In other words, I didn't have to put much effort in it. I just had to show up. I didn't have to do anything else but just show up. And just by showing up, I would hear the Word of God. Now, according to that verse, the more you hear the Word of God, the more He builds your faith. Right. Oh, I needed more faith. And so I decided as a young man that just got saved that I would never miss church. Well, every time they have the church door open, I'd be there. If it was open on Sunday morning, I'm going. Wasn't up for debate. If it's open on Sunday night, I'm going. Not up for debate. If it's open on Wednesday night, I'm going. Not up for debate. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the more that I could get the word of God in me by hearing, the more it's going to build my faith. Now, by the way, the only way that you can please God, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's a Bible verse, all right? So I know that if I don't have the faith that God wants me to have, I can't please God. Now, God created me for one reason, and that one reason was to please him. And so to me, it all tied together like a nice, neat little package. And so I thought, for sure, here's what I'm going to do. It's easy to go to church, not hard. It's just an event you attend. I mean, most of you attend events. Most of our lives are made up by events. And so it was just an event I was going to attend. Matter of fact, it was free. Didn't have to pay for it. And so I was going to go to a free event that God was going to build my faith, whereby I could please him. And then I learned in the Bible that you get things from God by faith. So not only can I please him, but now I'm going to learn how to get things from God. And now I'm going to learn how to be blessed of God. And so I just decided that I was going to plug into every single type of service that I could. And so I started attending conferences at our church, and I started attending Bible studies at our church, and I started attending so much more at our church. You know, you can grow by coming to church. Now don't do this, but you can grow by coming to church if you never read your Bible on your own. Now, I think you ought to read your Bible on your own. But I'm saying that you can grow by just coming to church if you never even read your Bible on your own. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let me give you 10 reasons. I will not be lengthy. When you hear the word 10 there, you think I'm going to speak for 10 hours, and I'm not. But let me give you 10 reasons why I believe Sunday night church is important. Statement number one, because one service a week is not enough. One service a week is not enough. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And let the elders that rule well," it says, "be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine." Labor in the word and doctrine. You and I are supposed to be believers that labor in the word and doctrine. And by the way, if you only labor a little bit, then you only get the benefit of a little labor. If you only get a little doctrine, then you only have the benefit of a little doctrine. Right. So the more labor there is and the more doctrine there is, then the more that you know. And by the way, can I tell you, you need something in your life that's going to counteract the influences of a world that's out there that is having a great influence in your life. Years ago, there was a traveling circus, and there was an animal show, and the circus performers decided that what they were going to do is they were going to introduce a brand new snake. And so they introduced the cobra, and the cobra came out, and the enemy of the cobra was going to be the mongoose. And so they put the cobra out there, and they put the mongoose out there, and it was going to be a fight to the bitter end. And so the crowds came around, and the mongoose had lunged out after that cobra repeatedly. But every time that mongoose lunged out after that cobra bit that mongoose. And after a while, the mongoose just fell over dead. Well, they were amazed, because they'd been outside of the mongoose's captivity cave, if you will, out of its cage, outside the cage, and they noticed that there was dead cobras laying all around the cage. And they thought for sure that this mongoose was going to kill that cobra. But what that mongoose was doing, there were some special leaves that was right around that cave or that cage right there. And every time that that mongoose would get bit by a cobra, it would eat one of those leaves, and it was an antidote. And that antidote would all of a sudden be able to overcome the poison of that bite, and it would be continually able to fight that cobra until the cobra got so tired that it could put that final snap on it and kill that cobra. The problem was, when they put the cobra and the mongoose out there in the middle of the circus ring, there was no antidotes. There was no leaves around. Can I tell you, church is an antidote? Can I tell you that when you come to church, you've been bitten all week by the world and the world's philosophies and the world's influence and the world's involvement in your life and the world's teaching in your life, and you've had theology taught to you all week long by the world and by those that are not godly people. And when you come to church, it's like you've been bit all week long by that cobra, and all of a sudden now, you as the mongoose, you need some leaves to be able to help you to overcome the bites. I'm saying that one service is not enough. Statement number two, because people lack the knowledge of the Word of God to have a relationship with the author. We lack the knowledge of the Word of God to have a relationship with the author. You know, it's through this book right here that you and I, as believers, get to know the author, who is God the Father. Now, can I tell you that you and I need church? Now, why? Because the Bible says over in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because they don't know. You know why there's so many foolish decisions being made today in our country? Can I tell you? Because people have forsaken the local church and people have forsaken the Bible. And now because every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, sort of like the days of the judges. And they're doing that which is right in their own eyes and they're making their own decisions. And it's not based on the trueness of the Bible. By the way, we made better decisions when people around America went to church. We made better decisions when there wasn't all the interference of those things that was on the outside contaminating our thoughts and contaminating our decisions. Can I tell you, one of the best places to rear your child is in church. The reason to rear your child is in church so that they can understand the ways of God, can understand the blessings of God, and understand, if you will, please, how God can protect them. And understand this, I'm not talking about protect them from gunshot, and I'm not talking about protect them from drugs, because I decided at the age of 16 I'd never do drugs and I wasn't saved. I decided at the age of 16 I wasn't going to smoke and I wasn't saved. I decided at the age of 16 I wasn't going to do alcohol and I wasn't saved. I decided at the age of 16 I wasn't going to ever holler at my wife or holler at my kids or curse them out or stuff like that, and I wasn't even saved. See, you can make that which is moral decisions and not be saved, but can I tell you, in the house of God, you don't learn just how to make moral decisions. You learn how to make spiritual decisions. And so I'm saying this, that people lack the knowledge of the Word of God, and it hurts their relationship. But when you come to church, then people understand that which is the knowledge of the Word of God, and it helps you to have a relationship better with humanity and better with God. Statement number three, because we are commanded to assemble together. Now wait a minute. Don't get so edgy about this one verse I'll read, because it's not talking about just the assembly. It's talking about why we're supposed to assemble. The Bible says to exhort one another. Now, what's that mean? That means to lift each other up. That's what it means. That means we come to church to encourage each other. Right. We come to church, somebody has a dumpy week. They're discouraged. Their bottom lip is sagging down between their two big toes. They're walking around. They can't see the light for that which is the darkness of their night. Now, what happens? When a person comes to church, they get to hear the songs of Zion. They get to hear a choir sing. They get to hear somebody else that's going to sing in a special, and then maybe another special. They get to hear the blessings of God as God. Hey, by the way, where are you going to hear more about God than in church? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. Now listen to it, the connection to the rest of the verse, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you, the closer that we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're going to see that which is a pre-anthem of that which is the tribulational period, which is to come. The very next thing that's going to take place in the prophetic timetable for God's people is called the rapture. It's called the catching away. But before you will have the rapture, the catching away, before you, if you will, compared to an earthquake, you might have some tremors. As we get closer to that which is the rapture, don't forget we're also getting closer to the tribulation period. Because when there is that which is the catching away, when there is the rapture, and you and I are caught up together to be with the Lord in the air, do you understand that the very second that that takes place, the tribulation begins, and then 3.5 years later, great tribulation begins. And can I tell you, listen, before there is ever an earthquake, there's going to be the tremors. There's already, you see it all over our nation, an anti-Christ movement. What is that? That's a tremor. That lets me know that the rapture is getting closer. That lets me know that the return of Christ is near. Because before we go into that which is the tribulation, Christ comes back. Before the Antichrist is ever introduced, Christ comes back. And so may I say that we're commanded to be able to go to church so that we can exhort one another. We can encourage one another. Statement number next, home Bible study approaches oftentimes is less attended than that which is a corporate service. You know, and sometimes home Bible studies, a dear brother joined our church not too long ago, and he said, preacher, he said, I got in those home Bible studies. He said, the thing that turned me off, that's what he said. He said, the thing that turned me off, he said, is when we decided we were going to meet in a bar. And we met in the bar, and he said, the man that was over the home Bible study said, hey, let's all get something to drink. And we were sitting around drinking booze as we were studying the Bible, and he said, it just didn't seem right. Now, can I tell you why it didn't seem right? Wasn't right. Okay? And now, by the way, that was a church that promoted that. Look, you and I ought to decide that as we approach that which is church, we understand the blessings thereof. It's a corporate service where people are coming together, and it's a time where people can, and there's nothing like a Sunday night church service to be able to do that. Do you realize that this morning, I guess we have upward, if not over, 70 workers that are working in 11 other services, and they're busy, and they're doing the will of God, and they're preaching, and they're teaching, and they're workers, and they're helping, but they're not here. They're not here. They're serving in some other aspect of the ministry here on property. Now, wait a minute. On Sunday night, guess what? They're here. So you get to see people on Sunday night. You didn't even know that were members here if you just come on Sunday morning. You come on Sunday night and you think because you've been faithful on Sunday morning all these years and you don't come on Sunday night that they're a visitor. But the fact of the matter is they've been serving in other places. And so it's a time where people can come together. Statement number five, and that is this. There's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to discipleship. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And can I tell you that there is a cost to discipleship? Discipleship also would run parallel with the word of commitment. There's a cost to it. There was a guy by the name of Ed Kimball. Ed Kimball led a student to Christ by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody trained a guy by the name of R.A. Torrey. Torrey's preaching influenced J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman trained a guy by the name of Billy Sunday, the evangelist. And at the age of 12 and 13... Lottie and Myrtle, which was the people that raised me for the first 6 years of my life, went to the Baltimore campaign in 1916 and walked down the aisle and received Jesus Christ as Savior. I can be thankful for my salvation going all the way back to that which is Ed Kimball, which was 150 years ago. See, so you don't know by going to a meeting how God could use you. You don't know by being a soul winner how God could use you. It would be amazing to see what God could do in and through you if you decided that, hey, I'm going to pay the cost of discipleship. I remember when I first got saved, there's a guy by the name of David Lee. He was the man that led me to Christ. David Lee would call me up every night on the phone. He'd call me up and he'd say, hey, did you read your Bible today? I was an athlete. I was very heavily involved in the sports activities of my public school. And I was just very heavily involved. And plus I worked a job after that. And so I'd come home late at night. He'd call me up at 9 o'clock every night. And he'd give me a call. He'd say, did you read your Bible today? I said, no, I hadn't had time. Or he said, go get it. We'll read it together. And I go get that Bible, and we'd read it. He'd give explanation. It takes an hour just to read one chapter. And then by force, because I didn't want to take an hour to read one chapter, I started reading my Bible on my own. All right? You say, why? To avoid persecution, that's why. And so, but we started. He helped me. He helped me. He was an accountability partner. And he pushed me. He pushed me. You know, most of us don't want to be spiritual. Come on, be honest with me. Most of us do not want to be spiritual. You didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, it's Sunday. You know, you walk in and see your wife. Oh, honey, guess what? It's Sunday. You walk in and, you know, and you take the bedspreads off of your children. Hey, get up, kids, it's Sunday. And they jump out of the bed saying, yes, I've been waiting for it all week long. I can't wait, it's Sunday. Dad, I can't wait. Mom, I can't wait. Boy, I'm going to go and get dressed as quick as I can. And boy, don't worry about breakfast and don't worry. But it's Sunday. Then all of a sudden, all of you float out to the vehicle. It's Sunday. You know, you get in the vehicle and you turn on some type of heavenly choir, you know, and all of you are singing as you come to church about Sunday. And you walk in, you got this big smile on your face, earlobe to earlobe, and you know, it's just Sunday. And you're walking along on your tiptoes as you're climbing over the clouds, and it's Sunday. You know, and you see everybody, and they look like they've got this round thing over top of their head, and you identify everybody as a saint because, after all, they're wonderful, and what in the world could a saint ever do wrong? And you walk down, and then comes the offering time, and you pull out your billfold, and say, oh, I love God so much. Oh, just, it's Sunday. Can I tell you that's not normal? I mean, that is not normal. You got to make yourself get out of bed. You know, you got to convince your husband or your wife, you know, we really need to go, honey. Well, come on, we have to go. Well, we really need to go. You know, we hadn't been there in a year and a half. We really need to go. You know, and then you go in and say, hey, kids, guess what? We're going to get to go to church today. Isn't it great? Dad, Mom, you're kidding. You know? And then, you know, here it's time to go. Hurry up, we're going to be late. Hurry up, we're going to be late. Here she is. She's trying to get her hose up, and she's got one foot, and she's running along trying to get her hose up. She puts her foot in the car, and the car takes off, and she's trying to, you know, get to, you know. That's pretty much the way it goes. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, listen, do you understand that discipleship cost? Statement number next. Sunday evening is unique preaching tailored to those Christians. You know, every preacher has a philosophy. Let me tell you this one. Sunday morning, most of the time, it's going to be encouraging. Why? I might only have you one day a week. That's it. I might only have you one morning out of that day. I only got one shot. You've been drugged through the mud. You've been stomped on. You've been cursed at. People's been tight with you all week. Man, you need somebody to encourage you to stay close to God. Because if not, you just might not make it. So on Sunday morning, most of my messages are messages of encouragement. Now, you're going to hear the plan of salvation simply because of the fact we do have lost people that attend very often here. We want to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel and receive Christ. But most of the time, it's encouragement. Hey, you can make it. Most of the time. On Sunday night, it's exhortation. I'm exhorting you. You can do it. Here's ways to do it. Here's ways that you can plug in and be able to make it. So you get a little bit more meat of the word. On Wednesday night, it's education. So what we're doing is we're getting into the scriptures deeper. I'm passing out, if you will, handouts, and we're trying to give you a time to take some notes. And so, all right, it's just like Sunday school. Sunday school is education time. All right, now wait a minute. You say, why do you do that? Because different people have different needs. You know, we have workers that come in here on Sunday night. Man, they've worked all day. They were on a bus route early this morning, out picking up people. They brought people in. They've taught Sunday school once, if not twice. Maybe they preached in a junior church. Maybe they sang a special somewhere or something like that. And so it is time to be able to come together. Why? Simply because we can take and we can help people to be able to get strength. And what do we do? How do we do that? We do that because it's unique to them. Years ago, I held up a puzzle, and I showed it to my wife, showed it to my kids, or them at the house, and they got excited. They used to put together puzzles all the time, and so they got excited, and it was a 500-piece puzzle. Now, when I see a 500-piece puzzle, that means investment of time. That means trying to figure it out. But what if I was to tell you this morning, here's what it is. I've got a 500-piece puzzle for you this morning. I'm going to give it to you, but there's only one piece missing. Please tell me what it is. You wouldn't be able to do that. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, here's what it talks about. For we know in part. See, if you just come to one of the services, you only know in part. But when you come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it helps you to put all the pieces together so it makes more sense. You ever get around a chef and he prepares? It takes me an average between 3 to 5 hours to prepare a message. You know, and so here's the chef back there. He's preparing. You know, and it has certain elements in there according to the diet that you need for the whole day, not just for that particular meal. That's the way most preachers preach. When they preach, here's what they're doing. They're giving you a portion of the meal, but you're not getting all of it. If you want the whole diet, you come to all the services and you get the whole diet of it. But it's just a part of the diet when you only come to a part of the services. All right, now wait a minute, watch this if you will. Statement number next, we see this, that Sunday evening services allows the family style gathering of the congregation. It's when families come together. Right now we have a college kid maybe serving in one area. We've got another college kid serving in another area. They're part of the same family. We might have a dad that's over preaching in a service right now. We might have a mom that's a soul winner in a different service right now, and they're separated out in some aspect or some facet or another. But on Sunday night, guess what? Whole family gets to come sit together. Amen. Whole family gets to be together. It's where the family comes in. We have 11 other services. We have 2A junior churches. That's for people that have children that come in, you drove in and you've got a child and you say, boy, they behave better in a junior church than they would in the main auditorium service. So we have 2A junior churches. We have 5B junior churches. We have 5 young men that are preaching the Word of God in a B junior church these are young people come in on our buses. We have 1C junior church that takes place in the afternoon. We have 1 Spanish junior church being done right now by those that are speaking to the Spanish, and it's in a junior church. We have 1 adult Spanish service that's taking place right now. We have 1 combined children's and adult special needs service that's taking place right now. So we got 11 other services that's going on right now on property. Now, can I tell you that when we come together on a Sunday night and people come back in, it's sort of like having family dinner. Family dinner. My mother was big on that on Fridays. Now, she wasn't big on that any other day during the week but Fridays. And my mama would always say, Friday supper, never miss. Never miss. And by the way, that was the one time during the week we wanted to miss. Because that's when we had what we call potluck or goulash, where she would take everything out of the kitchen refrigerator that we had partial food from the week. Maybe we had some extra corn left over, goes in the pot. Maybe we had some steak, gets cut up. Maybe some chicken, maybe some fish, all cut up, goes in the pot. You never knew what was going to be in the pot. I was in the supermarket one day, and I found a thing that's called hot sauce. And I thought, I'm going to get that hot sauce stuff. Man, I got some hot sauce and went to school the next day, and they had hot dogs and put some hot sauce on there, and I put it on there like ketchup. Man, I ate that. It burned the roof of my mouth. It burned my throat. It burned all the way down to the interior of my stomach. And I said, that's good for mama's goulash. And so on Friday nights, boy, when mama would serve up her goulash or her potluck, you know, I carried a little thing of hot sauce, and me and hot sauce became buddies for the rest of my life. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what we do understand. We do understand statement number 7 in the evening service. It allows the full family style gathering to be in the congregation. Statement number next, okay? And that is this. Statement number 8. Having another service allows us time for missionaries to present their works and special speakers. You know, we couldn't do that on Sunday morning. If we were one of these churches that just had Sunday morning church only, where am I going to put the missionaries? When are they going to present their ministries? If I just had Sunday morning church only, where am I going to allow special speakers to speak? Unless it's one of these guys that never speaks to his own people, and he's always having special speakers in. So we have Sunday night church, and Sunday night church is a wonderful time for missionaries to be able to present their ministries. Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, and when they come together, they had gathered, it says, the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how that they had opened the door, it says, of faith unto the Gentiles. So you get to hear missionaries that say, this is how we open the door of our faith into this country. This is how we open the door of our faith into this country. This is how we open the door of our faith into this country. Okay? And so it allows us a time to be able to come together so that you get to hear these missionaries that are going out, that are representing us and partnering with us on foreign soil to be able to give the gospel to the uttermost. Statement number next, I'm almost done, and that is this. Sunday night church is having another service time which allows us to have our practices and meetings. You know, if we didn't have Sunday night church, when would the choir come together to practice? They practice before the evening service. Our teen choir practices before the evening service. Our orchestra practices before the Sunday evening service. Our children's choirs practice before the Wednesday evening service. And so it's a time to be able to come together, and it's a time for God's people to be able to practice. So, and by the way, when somebody gets up to sing and they sing that song, can I tell you, as they sing that song, it takes practice. Ladies got up and sang just a few minutes ago, did a super job, but it would not have been a super job if there would not have been practice. And it takes time to go in and to be able to memorize those songs, or to be able to get a tune down correctly so that they can actually sing that song, okay? So before the Sunday evening service, well, it gives people an opportunity to be able to prepare themselves with the Bible blazers that we have as a pre-service. Man, our children are learning character stories and learning Bible verses and learning how to obey the Word of God and obey their parents. Wonderful time for our children to grow. And our young fundamentalists, where there's red-hot preaching, that's a great time for our teenagers to hear the heart of their youth director and to be able to be inspired and challenged from the Word of God. With our adult discipleship, great time to be able to go down there and to understand the riches of God's Word as you grow in grace and as you become a strong, mature believer in Christ, to be able to step out, to be obedient to Him in every aspect of the Christian life. For our choir to be able to come in and sit and practice, and the orchestra be able to come in and sit and practice so they can play on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I tell you, that's a great time. Let me give you one last thought. Revival has never come to a country where there is less emphasis on preaching the Bible and prayer. Revival's never come to a country where there is less emphasis on the Bible, preaching, and prayer. You know, whenever you read about great revivals that have swept nations, it was always done when people put everything else aside, do your study, when people put everything else aside and God and His Word was the main thing. Man, people would come early. They'd get around the altars and they would pray and say, God, please work. And they would plead, and revivals struck nations. My fear in our country is this, is the fact that we have become such a materialistic society that we are stuck in our comfort zones. You know, most people, if they walked into this church building this morning, just being honest before the Lord, and the air was not working, most people would say, it's too hot in here, can't handle it, I'm going home. But yet years ago, when there was no air condition, that wasn't a problem. Most people that attend churches today, if the pews were uncomfortable, pews were so uncomfortable in that church, I'm not going back. That's how they base it. Or they'll say the music. And today in our society, in our entertainment society, here's what we have. People do not base where they go to church based on that which is the Word of God being taught, the Word of God being preached, my soul being edified, my soul being fed. No, they don't base their attendance there. They base it on the program. You know, if they have a familiar song that they're singing, a song that's their favorite. You know, a lot of people say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to go back to that church. I hear this all the time because I go out door knocking all the time. I'm in people's homes every single week of the world. And so I hear this all the time. You know, well, you know, I enjoyed everything about the church except for your conservative stand on music. I hear that. I said, really, what are you looking for? Well, you know, we're looking for songs that we can really get into. That's what we're looking for. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Listen, we ought not choose a church based on that which is the emotional draw. First, we get the facts and we allow our facts to feed our emotions, but we do not feed our emotions on that which is the element of something that pulls on us. You'll never make right decisions that way. So what do we do? And now by the way, I try to keep it alive. You know, I try to be able to, every so often I'll throw a funny in there. And you say, when do you do that? When people are sitting there looking at me like, I'll try and throw a funny in there. Say, why do you do that, preacher? To get them back. Or I might stand up and say, that's what that Bible's talking about. You know, and all of a sudden somebody's there. Right? So why do you do that? Wake up the dead. Try to bring life into the corpse. Okay? But I'm saying in church, here's what we understand. You know, there's never been a great revival of any land where there's less. By the way, you don't grow by less Bible, you grow by more Bible. See, there's going to be a day when all of a sudden you're away from the, if you would please, the entertainment centers that they call worship centers today that people call church. But there's going to be a day when all that is not in your living room when all of a sudden you're having marital problems. Right. You're not going to be able to turn on the song where you got two broads that are standing up there in their lead guitars and their tight blue jeans and they're wiggling this away and wiggling that way and stringing this away and throwing it up this way with the lights turning different colors and stuff like that. That's not going to give you the answer. It better be, going back to the Bible, God being the author of the Bible, teaching you what the Bible says. There has to be a time we grow past, if you would please, the fantasy of a Six Flags to realize that's not reality. There has to be a time when we say, look, it has to come down to God. What are you really saying? God, I want to meditate. What are you trying to tell me? God, what are you trying to show me? God, let me slow down a little bit. See, here's the difference. In our society today compared to the society of years ago, you didn't have all the competition. The Bible has not changed. Society has changed. See, now, young people, it used to be we would go outside and we would play with Coca-Cola cans. Yeah. We were happy. You know, we'd make our own balls, you know, out of twine and stuff like that from the farm. And we'd go over and we'd get ourselves a big stick that we called a bat. You know, we'd have somebody to throw that ball of twine to us. And we'd take that fabricated bat that was made out of a stick out of the woods. We'd hit it and we'd play softball. We're happy. You know, nowadays you say, hey, let's go play softball. You give a kid a stick. You give him a ball of twine. He looks at it and says, what is this? You know what they want? They want I don't know what they have out even today. They still have Nintendo out today? They do. They have the super, super booster Nintendo stuff. You know, where you're things are blowing up and things are just, you know, and then you got the rock music blaring in the background and, you know, so now they're with the rock music and they're blowing it up, you know, and stuff like. And then they come to church and the man of God says, open your Bible. And they're like, really? Come on. See, the competition's different than it was yesteryear. But we don't need to step over a line whereby we remind you of the rock concert that you went to on Friday by that which is the music we're having on Sunday. We don't need to step over. We need to keep the holy holy. Amen.
Amen.
We need to keep the pure pure. We need to keep the right right. And you say, oh, preacher, this sounds like one of those churches of yesteryear. No, this is a Bible-believing church of today.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that revival has never come to a country. There was, when there was less emphasis on Bible preaching, Bible teaching, and the Word of God. Music never brought revival to a country. Funny stories never brought revival to a country. Though I think from time to time, there ought to be, listen to me now, preacher get up and he tell that funny story. Or, you know, maybe somebody get up and man, you know, they sing a great hymn of the faith. They sing a great spiritual song and it's got more oomph to it because they put the oomph in it. I mean, that's great. But I don't think that you ought to be in a place, listen to me now, where there's a de-emphasis on the Word of God. Sunday night church is different. When a person comes to Sunday night church, can I tell you, to me, Sunday morning is like breakfast. It's like breakfast. Sunday night's like a good meal. Working out in the fields, and all of a sudden the dinner bell rings. Grandmother's been in there cooking and cooking. Man, she's got everything there. I mean, it's just a wholesome Sunday meal, Sunday night. Wednesday night is like supper time, where you're coming in, you're sitting down late at night, kind of tired, had a long week, or had a long day out there, and you're sitting down. But can I tell you, I enjoy three meals a day.
Amen.
I enjoy that. I enjoy being able to have the variety of the meals. I don't eat supper like I eat breakfast. And I don't eat breakfast like I eat lunch, or if you would please, dinner. I don't do, they're all different. They all have different variations. I'm saying, look, Sunday night church could help you tremendously, where you could be able to grow, where you could be able to see your kids grow. All of a sudden, your child gets in the children's choir. Your teenager gets in a teen choir. All of a sudden, your college-age young person gets in a college-age choir. All of a sudden, you get to meet different people because on Sunday night, Sunday morning crowd watch. Let me tell you what happens. Sunday morning, we're getting ready to pray or we're going to sing our way out. And as we get ready to do that, everybody's in a hurry. I mean, come on. You're going to have to stand in line for 2 hours for a hamburger. Now, everybody's in a hurry. They don't stand around fellowship much. Some people rode buses. It's here this morning. Some people drove in. You know, you're wanting to go out. You're wanting to get in line. You're wanting to go someplace. You got it planned. You've already got maybe, a reservation someplace to go someplace and enjoy your meal. And so we're in a hurry. Sunday night's different. We get out about 7:30, and you see people standing around for an hour and a half. You can't get them to leave. You flicker the lights hoping they catch it. And you flick the lights and they just wave at you. And they just keep talking. There's a difference.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.